We are in the middle of that series, and last week we started to look at the historical background of the Nicene Creed, and so we're going to take up the second half of the story. But before we do, let me do a quick recap. You might remember these two guys, Alexander and Arius. They had a dispute over whether or not Jesus was fully or is fully God. Arius says Jesus isn't fully God. Alexander said that he was. Where we finished last week was with the Emperor Constantine having called the Council of Nicaea. The council very quickly condemned Arius' position and wrote a creed to make it clear that Orthodox theology is that Jesus is fully God. Now, that should have been the end of it, right? But it wasn't, and there were two reasons that that didn't fix it. The first was a problematic word, homoousios. It means same being or same substance. The creed written at the Council of Nicaea said, Jesus is of one substance, homoousios, with the Father. Now, do you remember the modalists from last week? They were the people who said the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit don't exist simultaneously. God's like one person who wears three different masks at different times. Well, Marcellus of Ankara, who was a well-known modalist, said, hooray, Nicaea is a victory for modalism. Right, now that wasn't at all what the authors of the creed thought, but you can see how you can spin it. To Marcellus and to other modalists, homoousios meant the Father and the Son are the same being. That is, there's no distinction between the two. And so the Arians say, exactly. See, Nicaea is wrong because it's modalist. And so this word homoousios became divisive. The second reason that it didn't fix it was that Constantine got in the road. So Arius was excommunicated and exiled after the Council of Nicaea. No one should have given him communion, but his mate Eusebius gave him communion. Constantine was outraged and exiled Eusebius, but Eusebius wrote him a letter and Constantine said, yeah, sure, come back. Arius wrote him a letter and said, how about me? Constantine said, yeah, sure, come back. And so this undermines the Nicene settlement and makes it appear that Arianism is now acceptable. All right, before we go on, we need to meet a couple more people. This is not Athanasius. In 328, Alexander, the bishop from last week, he died, and he's replaced by Athanasius, who became the leader of the people championing the Nicene Creed. The second person we need to meet is Constantius. Constantine, for lack of imagination, had three sons called Constantine II, Constantius and Constans. And eventually, Constantius comes to rule the whole empire. He has Arian sympathies. We have an emperor with Arian sympathies. And like Constantine, he does want Christianity to be part of the glue that holds the empire together, but he wants Arian-flavoured glue. All right. Now, there's a whole lot of complicated manoeuvring. We don't need to know all of that. What we need to know is that four words emerged. The first one we've met already, it's the word homoousios. This is the word from Nicaea. And Athanasius says, if you're not willing to use this word, you're not orthodox. If you're not willing to say that the Father and the Son are of one being, the same substance, then you must be saying that Jesus is less than God. At the other end of the spectrum, there's not many people, but there's a few people saying, no, they are heterousios or anomios. They're completely different, which is even more extreme than Arius. Not many people there. But between them, there are two more words. The first one is homoousios. And there's a big group who like this word, partly because it's not on the extremes and who wants to be an extremist, but also because they think it guards against modalism. It says the Father and the Son, they're of like substance, but it makes them a little bit different in some way. And so that guards against modalism. The question, though, is, does that give away too much? And then the last word was homoios, which just means like. And that's the word preferred by the Arians. It's very ambiguous because it doesn't tell you how they might be like each other. So is the Father like the Son in the same way that life is like a box of chocolates? Right? It doesn't mean anything. So they need to choose between those four words. Through the 350s, Constantius called a number of councils, but the one that interests us the most was in the year 359. There's lots of them, so they meet in two separate councils, the East and the West, and Constantius' aim is for them to have a free and open debate and then decide on the word homoios. That's the outcome he's after. It took longer in the East than the West, but both of them did. They did what they were supposed to do, and they adopted the word homoios. But in reality, there's lots of dissenters. It's a political victory, it's not a real victory, and in Jerome's words, the whole world groaned and was astonished to find itself Arian. It was such a bad outcome that what it did was it got these two groups talking to each other. And as they talked to each other, they discovered that they believed the same thing. The homoousios party, they're concerned about Arianism. If we don't use that word, it sounds like Jesus isn't fully God. The homoios people are saying, we're concerned that if we do use homoousios, there's no distinction between the Father and the Son, and modalism comes in. But they work out it's only the word they disagree on. They both think that Jesus is fully God, and they both think that the Father and the Son are not the same person, that they are distinct. And so earlier, Athanasius has said, you've got to use the word homoousios or you're not orthodox. But now he says, no, they're our brothers. They mean what we mean. We're just looking for a word. So how can we solve it? Well, the next to the plate are the Cappadocian fathers, who almost certainly did not look like that. They are Basil of Caesarea, Gregory of Nyssa, and Gregory of Nazianzus. They became influential in the 370s, and the big thing they do is find another word. They use the word hypostasis, and they use it differently to the word homoousios. They're not the first people to do this, but they're the most influential. At Nicaea, the word hypostasis has been used to mean the same thing as homoousios, or just ousia. The Cappadocians say, no, we're going to use it differently. We're going to use it so that hypostasis means person and ousia means being or substance. And if you do that, then we can say that God is one ousia in three hypostases, right? One God, one substance in three persons. It protects against Arianism because they are one substance, and it protects against modalism because they are three persons. And so that's the formula that cracks it for us. Now, that language doesn't actually end up in the creed, but it helps them to find a way forward. The word that ends up in the creed will be homoousios. By the year 381, Theodosius is the emperor. He's strongly committed to the Nicene position, and he called the Council of Constantinople. That council reaffirms what was said at Nicaea. It condemns Arianism. It condemns modalism. It expands the bit of the creed on the Holy Spirit, because there are now some people going around saying the Holy Spirit isn't God. And it produced the Nicene Creed as we now know it, the Niceno-Constantinopolitan Creed. And instead of me reading it to you, why don't we use this moment to say it together? Please stand and let's declare our faith together in the words of the Niceno-Constantinopolitan Creed.